I like what I feel tonight. There's an explosive presence in the house. You can be seated for just a moment. How many of you were here this morning in church? Pastor Rich Thomas, he preached an awesome message, didn't he? I don't know where he is right now. He was right over here. But such an awesome message. I'm so appreciative for Brother Rich Thomas. He's such a great man of God. And it's just awesome to be able to take and work with him every day. I'm so excited about what God is doing here. We had last Easter, AM and PM, we had an Easter drama. And I know we made recognition of this on Wednesday night, and we didn't have a real large crowd Wednesday night. So everyone that was involved in our drama, Brother Dan Powell and everyone else, are they all back in here yet? Can you stand up if you were involved in the drama on Sunday night? Go ahead and stand up. I want to thank you all for all of your hard work. We had a great move of the Lord. We had great altar services. There he is, Rich Thomas, everyone. Yes! Woo! Awesome job this morning, Brother Thomas. And we had our Touch Twice clinic this weekend. I don't know how many of you were able to be here for that. But if we could have Felicia Pendleton, Kim Stace, Noah Strand, if they could all stand. Rebecca Thompson. Rebecca. These people did a tremendous job working and getting this clinic ready to go. And God is doing such a great work through these clinics. Brother Glenn Uselman, at the end, we had a church service, and he preached a great message, and the power of the Lord came down. We had a great altar service. I'm so thankful for what God is doing here at Calvary Gospel Church. And it is an honor tonight to... Okay, all right. You can be seated. All right, behave yourselves now. You're embarrassing me. Doesn't happen very often, but it's happening right now. It's because I had good upbringing. And I mean that sincerely. We have right now, and we have three individuals living in our home. For those of you that sometimes wonder, my wife and I, we've been married 33 years. And out of those 33 years, I think we counted it up that we've had 1 year of marriage that we haven't had someone living in our home. And we laugh about that. But we have right now Brother Juan, which is an honor to have him in our home. Brother Juan right here on the front. And we have my nephew, Carl and Cecily Grant. This is not to embarrass them, but when I grew up in our home, very rarely do I remember a time where we didn't have someone living with us, someone that was in a world of hurt or just struggling in life. And Dad seemingly always, Mom and Dad always, we had someone all the time staying with us. And I've seen how God has blessed him over the years. And I look at that and I say, I want those same blessings. So I've opened up our home. It's full right now. We have one more person coming in another week, and we're beyond full. We're having to move into our motorhome. So if you're looking for a place to go, it is an honor to be able to take and just serve God in any way, shape, or form. And I'm so thankful for all of the giving people here at Calvary Gospel Church. We have such an awesome church. God has put together such an incredible group of people, and it's great to be a part of that. And my wife's laughing at me, so I must have said something wrong or funny. But it is an honor tonight to introduce to you our special speaker for the evening. Now, last time I preached in Hyphen, I had to get an introduction that was like unbelievable. It was the absolutely craziest introduction that I have ever got in my life in any way, shape, or form. So I told Sister Vonna Mackey that tonight I get to introduce her. And she let me know that it was her husband that it was her idea or his idea to introduce me the way they did. But I think couples kind of go together, don't you? I want to give it my best, Sister Lavanna. Would you please stand? Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. Please stand to your feet, Sister Lavanna Mackey.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Wow. No! Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much. Oh, I did ask him not to do that. Woo. Oh, wow. Like Pastor Grant always says, it's good to laugh. It's good to have a good time. Wow. Well, I'm thankful for this opportunity, and, you know, we're so blessed just to be in a church like this, just to be in a church. We talk about holiness all month, and just to give us the guidance, our shepherd. We are the sheep, and just to lead us. We are so blessed, and I'm so thankful for that. So I appreciate you, Pastor Roy and Pastor Grant. Thank you. Well, I'm just going to get into what I'm going to talk about, and I'm just going to ask that just respond to God tonight. We're just going to let the Lord have his way, all right? All right. Harmonization usually sounds pleasant to the ear when there is a balance between the consonant and dissonant sounds. And simple words, for some of you who are not the music majors. This occurs when there is a balance between a tense and a relaxed moment. All right? And the term harmony comes from the Greek harmonia, which means joint, agreement, concord, and also to fit together. We are to be directly connected to God. We are to be directly connected to Him, directly connected to our Creator, in harmony with Him. We were never meant to be on our own. And I think oftentimes we fumble through life, even within the church, feeling empty and hopeless. We go through our normal day-to-day routine, and sometimes we just feel like we're just existing. And sometimes we are constantly bombarded with the pressures of this life to the point that we never come to our full potential. A couple months back, we talked a lot about spiritual warfare. If you guys remember, I believe that was in January, and how God has given us a way to live a victorious life. And these are things that I just picked up just listening that I feel that I've learned and we've learned. First of all, know who you serve. We serve the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth, okay, for victorious living. Know who you are. Know that you are a child of the King, and your identity is found in the Scriptures. That no matter how you've grown up, no matter what your past is, what the Word of God says, that is you. Okay? We also learn that the battle has been won. It was fought a long time ago, and our enemy was defeated. Now, this alone is enough to help us to just know that we are overcomers. Okay? We talked about sowing and reaping. What you put in is what you get out. Okay? We talked about praising and worshiping our way through anything, through our circumstances, which is just sacrificially giving to God, no matter what's going on. We're going to worship and praise our way through. Now, if you notice, all these are actions, and they're all actions done on our part. Now, this month, which we've talked about before, is we're talking about holiness. And Brother Thomas's message, I agree with Pastor Roy, was just amazing this morning. Just amazing the way that he talked about the highway to holiness. Right now, I'm currently reading Joy Haney, one of her books. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's a Pentecostal author. It's called A Call to Holiness. And one of the things she says is, to be holy means to be separated to God and his ideas, and it is being separated from the world system and being in harmony with God. Now, Brother Thomas mentioned this morning, that the only way that we can be in harmony with God is to know him, right? To spend time with him and to know his voice. And this, too, is an action. But this action is an action that requires stillness. One of the best ways to hear God's voice is in the silence. And the dictionary describes the word still as not moving, lacking motion or activity, uttering no sound, slacken, cease, let alone weaken. Now, in our world, in our society, words like this don't go. If to weaken, cease, to slacken, it's all about me. It's all about what I can do. It's about, you know, yourself. One of the most powerful positions to be in is in a quiet place with the Lord, a secret place, a place of refuge and solitude. It is there that we can hear our Creator's voice best. Psalms 91, verse 1 says, "And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Do you believe that tonight? "Stand in awe." I'm sorry, this is Psalms 4:4. "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." Selah. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen and I will be exalted in the earth." Is that stillness? When was the last time that we just sat still? If I were to say we're going to take 5 minutes to just close our eyes and be still, most of us, including myself, we'd start squirming after a while. Because we're just not used to that. And it wouldn't be because we don't want to. Most of us are longing for quiet time or time just to relax and just to have time to ourselves. But because of the busyness of life, the going, it's hard to find that time to just be still. It seems awkward just to sit and be still. The Bible tells us that in the last days that the people would run to and fro, just so busy with things. And I wonder if we really realize the danger in this, the danger in not being still. In the stillness, God speaks to us. It says in Job, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction." You think about that. That's probably the only time that we're still in the night and God can speak to us. Now, I've attended the Apples of Gold class, and I rant and rave about it. It was an amazing class on teaching women how to love their husbands, on prayer, on loving our kids. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the lesson that we had on loving our children. One of the scriptures that we had read was in Psalms 127:3, and it said, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Now, when we read that, the word heritage just jumped out at me. And I kept thinking about it all day long, and I thought, God, this is serious. Heritage. They're your heritage that you've given to us. If you look up heritage in the Strong's Concordance, it says heirloom, to inherit, portion, properly inherited, or possession. And I don't know about you, but it made me think, okay, if God has given me his heritage to raise, then they really need to know who he is. And I'm speaking of my children. They need to know who he is. One day they're going back to him. He's given them to me to take care of and instruct and teach and admonish them, my husband and I both, in the Lord, and then they're going to go back to him one day. So I need to make sure and do my part and make sure that they're ready to meet the Lord. So I begin to change my prayers for my kids, and I ask God, what do you want me to teach them? Now, I know that can seem like a very broad question, but God did answer me, and he said, teach them to hear my voice and to know my voice. And I thought, okay, how do you teach someone to know the voice of God? And I knew God, as awesome and powerful as he is, that he doesn't give us something, tell us to do something, and doesn't give us what we need to do it. He'll equip us to do it. So I waited for him to show me, and I just happened to be looking online at books on prayer, and I stumbled across a book. It was actually a book on kids' prayer and kids praying. And so I went to purchase it, and actually this is a funny story of just how God works things out. I went to purchase it, I can't remember how much it cost, but I just kind of thought, well, maybe I'll go check out another site and see what the price would be on that site. I actually went to a different site, and it was free for my Kindle. So I got it for free. You know, the significance of that is just the Lord just opens doors for us that we're just not even aware of at times. The book had a lesson on teaching your kids to hear God's voice. And it talked about praying and bringing our supplications before the Lord. And it also talked about being still and listening. And I don't know about you, but do you know how hard it is to get your kids to sit still and just listen to you, let alone sit still and listen to God? Very hard. But nonetheless, I told the kids, we're going to try this. And so I said, we're going to learn to hear the voice of God. And so we prayed together. And I said, after we prayed, we would sit still and we would just try and hear the voice of God. And believe it or not, the Lord always comes through because he tells us to prove him. He spoke to us. And he spoke to us with the scripture. And it was in Psalms. The scripture was that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek him and seek God. To inquire, make inquisition, search, asked to worship, to care for him. And I was so excited, and I said, oh God, guys, you realize that Lord is just confirming what we just talked about right now? And it just made my heart melt. And I just, the thought of God is just so near to us. And I thought, are we really seeking after God? Do we really seek after God? When we wake up in the morning, are we yearning to hear what he has to say for us on the day that we wake up? Is there a constant awareness of him in our thinking? When you read about him in the scripture, is there a burning passion inside of you, a longing for God? And I really, really had to think about this in my prayer time, and I thought, do I get up in the morning and do I think I just have to do my duty, that I just got to get down on my knees and I got to pray, and if I don't pray, then my whole day is going to be ruined and this is just going to be awful? Or do I get up in the morning and I'm like, I'm so excited to just talk to God today? I was listening to a sermon, actually, and I don't remember who was speaking, but they had talked about how that when you're praying, a lot of times we're in warfare prayer. We're just praying the house down. Lord, we bind this and we bind that. And God, I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what about the intimate moments with him? What about those times where I don't know if this has happened to you, but you know, just the other day I was thinking, I gotta pray. There's some things. I had my list, I had my agenda for prayer time, and I had something on my heart. And I would pray and I would talk and I would go through, you know, my list of things to pray, and all of a sudden I would start speaking in tongues and I would feel this overwhelming feeling of just to weep. And I was stopping myself because I was like, but God, I gotta pray for these people. These people need you, and they need your salvation, and they need this message. And it was like, God was like, just stop. Just stop. Tell me what's on your heart. What's on your mind? Because if you're going to continue to go this way, you're not going to be able to really get through to even pray for these people. You're not really going to be able to feel what I need you to feel to pray. And I think about this a lot. Someday this world is going to end, and all that's going to matter is if you knew God. I mean, truly, did you know God? Did you know him? His word says that he'll either say, depart from me, I never knew you, or well done, thy good and faithful servant. All other things will fall into place here on earth by just simply seeking God to know him. All other things will fall into place here on earth by just simply seeking God to know him. So what does that mean? That means if you put God at the forefront and said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you put God at the forefront of everything, then everything else lines up and just falls into place. It really does. If you know God, you will automatically have a heart for souls. Automatically, because you'll be passionate about the things that he's passionate about. You will keep and you will follow his commandments because they're a part of you. And this ties into holiness. It becomes your nature. Holiness and righteousness will be your garment, and you will manifest the fruit that we're supposed to be producing in our life of love and patience and all these good things. This just automatically happens. But it only happens, like Brother Thomas had said this morning, with our relationship, putting that at the forefront of everything that we do. I believe that God has a plan for each and everybody. And I know we hear this all the time. It almost seems like it's just something that goes through and cycles through our brain. God has a plan for me. We quote Jeremiah and we're like, yes, God has a plan for me. Thank you, Jesus. But really, God has a plan for you. And God will reveal his plan for you. He will take the time, and he will not only, the Bible says that he will order your steps. It says that he will guide you with his eye. God will be specific with you if you will be specific with him. And I always say this to people when I, you know, if to, just sharing this, that I look forward to hearing everybody's story of the first, the second, third, 100th time that you heard God speak to you. And then you just kept seeking after him. It's so encouraging to hear those stories. It increases my faith when someone says, you know, I prayed about this and God answered my prayer. But not only did he answer my prayer, but he answered it in a specific way that he just spoke to me. And I'm going to give you an example. One day I was having a conversation with someone, and I felt like I was just trying, you know, different ways to convince them that what I was saying would work. I told them all the facts, all the pros and the cons, you know, that I could persuade them to change their thought process. And I guess you can say I was witnessing, trying to tell them about the Lord. And afterwards, I felt emotionally and physically drained from this. And I got on my knees and I went to the Lord in prayer and I said, Lord, why did I feel that way? Why did it feel like it was such a like battle just to communicate and talk? And he spoke to me that night. He said, wisdom justifies itself. And I thought, wisdom justifies itself. What does that mean, Lord? Wisdom justifies itself. And basically, it was meaning that my job was to speak the word of truth. That was my job, what I was saying, and I was to speak it in love. And I didn't need to justify God's word, that it can stand all on its own. And I thought, oh, well, that makes this a lot easier for me to be able to talk with someone and share my heart with them about what God has done for me. I don't have to convince them. The word justifies itself. And it's in these moments of God speaking to us that we can be at peace and we can be at rest. Now, normally in this situation, I would have just wrestled with a thought all night long. How could I have convinced this person? What did I do wrong? Trying to figure this out. But God, as he says, to come to him and to share these things with him, took care of that. And I think we go through life like that. We wrestle with things. We think, okay, this is my responsibility, so I've got to take care of this, and I've got to think of a way to fix this. And yes, it is our responsibility, but God says he will help us. He'll give us the wisdom. He'll give us the knowledge of what we need to do. And I believe that a lot of times we need to place these things in God's hand because God is our refuge. It says that he is a very present help in time of need, not a distant, but present help. And it'll help you right then and there. And I was thinking about, you know, we read about Psalms 91 about dwelling in the secret place. And I remember I was just praying and the thought came to me, where do people go who don't know you for refuge? And I thought about that. And I thought about Pastor Thomas this morning was talking about being broken and allowing God to break you and constantly going before him. But what do you do when you don't realize that God is your refuge? What do you do? Where do you go? I thought, how do you cope in life if you don't have a place of refuge? That God set it up this way that we will have a place of refuge. And the cool thing about it is that it's holiness. This is still a part of holiness. That God has put us here on earth to be his lights and his examples. And the benefit is that we get to be in his arms, that we have a refuge and a place to go. And because of that refuge, it makes us holy. Does that make sense? It makes us holy to dwell in the secret place, but it's our benefit to hide ourselves, to not be controlled and led by this world. And I thought, wow, God, he's an all-inclusive God. Everything is in him. Amen. We don't have to go through life feeling overwhelmed, feeling like we're running around in circles because the days seem endless with our daily tasks. Yes, we have a responsibility in this life, for it is our portion given to us by God. We read about that in Ecclesiastes, that God has given us a portion in this life, and we do have things that we need to do. But the portion that God has given to us was never meant to stress or burden us in a negative way, but it was meant to elevate us, highway to holiness. Just a beautiful thing that God has done for us. Afflictions in this life, they will come and they will cause us to cry out. And either we're going to cry out to God or we're going to cry out to something else. We all know this with alcohol and drugs and all the different things that people reach for. But God says that you can reach for me. We read in James that trials in this life are to strengthen you, but only if you're connecting with your Creator. Otherwise, they're meaningless. Does that make sense? If we are not connecting with God, these trials seem like God is like taking a pot and beating us over the head. We will look at him as, why are you causing these things to happen to me? But God says that they are to strengthen us, to build us, to push us on to perfection. God wants us to be equipped and to grow in all spiritual knowledge and understanding, but it only comes from dwelling with Him, sitting in the secret place with Him. Now, there's a song that we sing quite often. And the verse to this song just grips me every time that we sing it. And you'll recognize it as I start saying these words. Eyes can't see the way you hold me, or how I'm hidden in your heart. And minds don't know of all that you've told me, or how I ache for where you are. It's invisible to the world. It's incredible to the angels. And not since Eden have they seen this sight. I love the part about not since Eden have they seen this sight. When God created Adam and they communed together in the garden, they were dwelling in unity. That was the secret place. You can go back to the beginning and you can read that. Actually, that's part of my reading right now. It's just reading in Genesis 1. And it's so beautiful to read about Adam when he was created, Adam and Eve, and them just being in the presence of God, just being connected to Him. We must get this inside of us. From the beginning of time, we were ordained to be one with God. We have to get this inside of us. We have to take time to just be still. And like I said, I know that this is something that we talk about all the time. It goes through one ear and it goes out the other. But God is our refuge. And God wants to be close to you. I remember growing up and wondering, what in the world are they talking about relationship? I can't fathom this. I grew up without a dad in my life. And most of you know, my mom was divorced, and I was about probably 11 or 12 years old. So I didn't understand this, you know, it's like a father. You can have this relationship with him. I said, God, I've never had that. I don't know what that means. And I found, you know, as I've gotten older, and I'm not, you know, that old, but just growing in the Lord, that He is like a father. And there's times where I just sit and I say, God, I don't have words to say today. It's early in the morning, the day hasn't begun, and it just seems that sometimes that there's so much to do. And I say, I don't have anything to say today. Can you just hold me? Does that sound strange? It sounds strange to me when I said it, but really that's what God wants to do. He just wants to hold you. He just wants to hold you. And in this, just His presence, the more you're in His presence, the more that it just flows out of you. The holiness of God just, it just illuminates out of you. And I thought, wow, God, you just have such a way of just drawing us. And I begin to pray, God, captivate me. And I didn't even know where that came from. Captivate me. I want to be captivated with you. And I said, I don't ever want to resist you. I will have days where sometimes I come in here and I may be upset and there's, you know, something that happened that day that takes my mind off. But the minute that I feel the presence of God, it's like something in me just reaches for Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just wonder if we could just worship the Lord right now. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to know that whatever phase of your life that you are in, you were never meant to go through it alone. God wants to be a part of your life. And we are to dwell with Him in unity with our Creator. We are to be in harmony with Him. When you're upset, He's concerned. When you're distraught, He is waiting with encouragement for you. And when you're feeling lonely, He's saying, I'm right here speak to me. And I say, let God be the balance between your tense and your relaxed moments of life so you can dwell in harmony with Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Usually when I speak, I like to either begin or end with a song. Oh, yes, Jesus. And I just want us to respond to God. Whatever that you have to do, it does not matter who is around you. It does not matter, because when we get to heaven, the person standing next to you, in front of you, the back of you, it's not going to matter. God's going to say, I want to talk to you, speak directly to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. You provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice. Ooh, you provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. Fill me.